Hello again. A pleasant good day to one and all. Hope you're doing well on this Wednesday in St. Louis or wherever you're watching. Thanks for visiting the Bernie Miklas Show. Thank you for subscribing. If you're just passing through, please subscribe, give us a shot, and hit the like button, leave a comment, all that good stuff. Love hearing from you. I want to talk about the St. Louis Blues today. I'm impressed by how they're handling some of the things that have hit them early on in the new season. So let's just start at the top. The Blues are 7-6-0 for 14 points. It's tied for seventh in the Western Conference as far as points. And, you know, it looks like an ordinary record because it, well, it isn't an ordinary record. But I think when you're trying to take stock of a team, yeah, the bottom line is definitely the bottom line. Don't get me wrong. Of course, we all know that. And this is a point in time in the season where I'm not even going to talk about, well, can they make the playoffs? What are their chances? It's just way too early. We're letting the season settle in before we can start to make those kinds of evaluations. Right now, it's just guesswork. So what I'd like to do is just kind of work with what we have and what we have seen so far. And in the context of some of the tough things they've had to deal with, I think that 7-6 is impressive. Again, it's all in context. Why do I think it's impressive? Well, first of all, if you look around the National Hockey League, or let's just look around the Western Conference, I mean, the Blues have 14 points. That's tied for seventh in the conference. No big deal, granted. However, that's more points than the Blues have more points so far early on after 13 games than Colorado, than Edmonton, and they have the same as Dallas. So when you frame it that way, that record is that sort of the substance of that record is better than the actual record itself. And I continue to be impressed by the way they respond to tough stuff, injuries, losing really important players. And like Tuesday night's game at Enterprise Center, that 3-2 win over Tampa Bay, I think demonstrated that once again, when late in the first period, Dylan Holloway was one of the players they signed away from Edmonton with the offer sheet this past offseason. He's been playing really well for them, and he was struck. I'm not going to like try to point to where it is because I'll get it wrong, but he was struck in a bad area on his neck, somewhere getting closer to the collarbone, the shoulder. And, you know, at first there wasn't much of a reaction, as you know. I'm telling you what you already know. There wasn't much of a reaction, but then all of a sudden it was an emergency. It was a crisis as he tried to make his way to the bench. He couldn't function. He had his head tilted all the way to the right, and he was clearly in great distress. So the Blues trainers did a great job working with him, working on him. Then the doctors arrived, and then they put him on a stretcher and took him to the hospital. And thank God he's okay. He's in stable, as of late last night, he's in stable condition. And if he was still in any kind of emergency or crisis situation, he had gotten through that okay. But that's not an easy thing to do if you're the Blues and you see that happen to one of your new teammates and someone who has fit in extremely well. So early in the second period, the Blues got down by a goal, but then they come back and win it 3-2. And I thought it showed a lot of resolve, a lot of character, a lot of focus and concentration and determination. And I think that was a really notable win given the circumstances of what they were going through and the emotions they were dealing with. I just admire that kind of thing. When athletes are tested, no matter what sport it is, even if it's an individual sport rather than a team sport, when you're tested in an unusual way, and last night that was an unusual incident, that was an unusual moment, completely unexpected. And it wasn't necessarily a hockey injury, although it was a hockey puck that caused the injury. But the point is, this isn't like you take a shot off the shoulder or something, and then you go, you know, you're in pain and you're hunched over, and then, you know, the trainer works on you and then you go right back out. This is where, wait a minute, he's on the stretcher. He's on the way to the hospital. What is he in any trouble? What is going on here? See, that's, even though it's a hockey injury because it was caused during a hockey game by a hockey puck, there was a lot more to it than that. This wasn't your normal hockey related problem as far as a player having to leave the game. So I do admire the way they handled that. And listen, they've been handling all kinds of stuff, as you know. They lose Robert Thomas, their best player. October the 22nd was his last game. And, you know, and he's going to be up for quite a long time. And since he's gone down, RT has gone down, the Blues are 3-3. That's commendable. That's respectable. Because even though they lost a couple in a row and there was a really ugly loss in there, they have rallied. They have rallied to even up their record at 3-3 without him in the lineup, including the last two games they've played have been wins. So I can't complain about what they've done without Robert Thomas. I think they're hanging in there pretty well. I think they're holding their own, to say the least. And then you had Philip Broberg, the defenseman, again, who was signed away from Edmonton on the offer sheet, and he has been a terrific, terrific, terrific player for the Blues. And I think the expectation level for him was strong, were pretty high. But I think Philip Broberg probably exceeded the expectations, even though we had good expectations. I'm going to give you one number on him, which I think sort of underscores how important and how valuable that Philip Broberg has been to the Blues so far. And, of course, now he's out for an injury, 4 to 6 weeks, something like that. When he's been on the ice at even strength, now, granted, it's team sport. I know that. And he's got a good defensive partner for the most part in Justin Falk. But when Broberg has been on the ice at even strength this season, the Blues have scored 75% of the goals when he's been out there. Now, to put that in context, that's my word of the day, context. To put that into context, among National Hockey League defensemen that have played at least 200 minutes this season at even strength, and it's a long, lengthy list, of the NHL defensemen who have clocked at least 200 minutes at even strength, Broberg's percentage of his team's goals scored when he's on the ice, 75%. The Blues have scored 75% of the goals when he's been out there even strength. That's the second best rate by an NHL defenseman in the National Hockey League this season. So the Blues are better. Translation, the Blues are better when he's out there, much better. Now, some of you, and listen, I'm a numbers nerd, so I'm not gonna go tisk, tisk, tisk. Some of you look at some of the metrics and say, well, the expected goal percentage, you know, because they've been outshot and this and that, they've been outchanced, you know, that's really a nice stat, 75%. Of the goals are scored when he is out there, they're scored by the Blue Note. That's nice, but it's a little misleading. You know what? I'm not even going to disagree with that. But my point is, they're a better team. They are demonstrably have been a better team when he's out there. And sometimes, as much as I get into the metrics, and I do, there are times where you say to the metrics, hey, shut up, okay? All I know is they've scored 75% of the goals when he's out there. Could that turn? Well, of course it could, and that's what the metrics try to tell us. I think we're all impressed by what Philip Broberg has done, metric or no metrics. So we add that one to the list. And listen, he got hurt against Toronto, you know, a couple games ago. In fact, two games ago, and the Blues won that game. And so he went out early enough to where with that knee injury to where, you know, I give them credit of winning the game without him. They did win the game, and he wasn't on the ice for a lot of the game. So, and then they win last night without him. So they're 3-3 without Thomas. They're 3-3 without Thomas in the lineup. They're 2-0 since Broberg suffered the knee injury. And they're 2-2 since Matthew Joseph got hurt. And he, you know, he had scored a couple goals, couple assists. And they're showing great resilience in this. I mean, you know, we can talk about some of the other things. Say what you want about Nick Leddy. He was getting a lot of minutes, and I don't think he was playing particularly well, but I see some people who are smarter than I am say, well, actually, I think we're too hard on him. Point well taken. I don't have a firm opinion on that, other than I noticed that the Blues were giving up a lot of goals when he was on the ice. But still, they're 5-4 since losing him. They haven't had Torrey Krug. Some will say, well, that's addition by subtraction. Perhaps. But, you know, Krug can do a lot of things. I'm not saying he was, exceptional defenseman. He could be a liability at times. My point is, anytime you lose a body, and anytime you lose a body of a player that's contributing major minutes and performing a major role and has had has been a key part of your success to various degrees, when you see bodies leave the lineup and they're out, and some of them are going to be out for a long time or a good while, you want to see how your team responds. And the Blues have responded to this blitz of injuries pretty well, if you ask me. I got no complaints, as I said earlier. And then there are other, I got some numbers for you, but these are not convoluted. There are other ways. I'm going to get real corny now. Is that all right? I'm going to get real corny. The advanced analytics people won't like that because I'm getting really corny and sappy. I'm doing a narrative. There are other ways to, here comes the corny part. There are other ways to measure a team's heart. How do you like that one? How's that for a cliche, right? Huh? 2 minutes? Send me to the box for 2 minutes for a bad cliche. Okay, guilty. But they have shown some heart. And here's what I mean by that. The Blues, I'm going to go right down a list of what I call like heart and soul stats, right? And I'm not saying they're going to last. See, it's a long season. We have no idea what's what to come. But so far, so good. The Blues this season are 5-3 in goal in games determined by one goal or less. You say, well, what's the less? That also means it includes overtime games where the Blues have won, I think, two games. So they're 5-3 in games determined by one goal. Let's just do it that way. Now, that does, and that includes a couple overtime wins. But those five wins are the second most in the national, tied for second most in the National Hockey League. Those five wins in one goal games puts them up on the short list of the best record in that category so far. That's kind of a heart and soul check right there, I believe. The Blues have a winning record when the opponent scores first. They're 5-4. That's not so easy to do. They are 5-2 when they are outshot in a game, which happens a lot. When the Blues have been trailing after one period, they have three wins, which is tied for first in the league. When trailing after the first period, three wins, tied for first in the league. And their overall record when they're trailing after one period is 3-5. What's so great about 3-5? Well, the winning percentage is the eighth best in the league in that category. Another heart and soul check mark. They overall this season, their five comeback wins tie them for second most in the National Hockey League. Okay, again, heart and soul stat. Maybe later in the season, I'll be talking about this, but in another way, that they're losing games like that. But I'm going to take the success when it comes, right? As it comes. There's a couple of other, here's a stat that I always look at, because I do have some secret sites I go to find some information. The Blues have been trailing a lot so far this season in their 13 games. Their average trailing time in a game, it's a per game basis. The Blues are averaging 29 minutes per game when they are at a deficit, when they are losing, when they are behind. 29 minutes a game is that average. That is the third highest in the National Hockey League. So for whatever reasons, a lot of it being their fault, sometimes the opponent gets credit, but for whatever reason, the Blues have been down in games, trailing in games, more on an average basis, more than just two other teams in the National League. The Blues are always scrambling from behind. Not always. I mean, a lot of the time trying to scramble to catch up, to hang in there, to get even. And they've done really, really, really well to do that, to sort of weather the storm and come back and find a way to get a point or 2 points. The Blues have had the lead in their first 13 games they've had the lead an average of like 13 and a half minutes per game compared to being behind 29 minutes per game. The rest of it's in the middle, the amount of time they've played when it was a tie score. So the Blues have been at a deficit position a lot through the first 13 games. And their response has been, I think, very reassuring. There's a competitiveness to them. There's a bit of a hard-nosed, we will get it done, let's stick with it and grind it out type attitude with them that, again, you need to have if you're going to erase deficits and you are trailing for so much of the time during a game, but you still manage more times than not to salvage those type of games and to get something good out of it. And so that's another reason why I admire the team and the fact that they really don't back down that much. Have they had some stinkers? Well, of course, all teams do. But I think the Blues have shown a bit of a fighting spirit, and I like that a lot. That's one good thing to see from them because, frankly, it wasn't always there. In fact, it often was not there last season with the Blues. There's a couple other things too. You know, you look at, you know, once again, you know, losing Robert Thomas and Philip Broberg and now don't know about Dylan Holloway and a couple other guys I mentioned. So you look at the Blues, a lot of people are contributing. Like, and here's why I know this, like their best offensive player, as we all know right now, is Jordan Kyrou. So I just went to a quick check of it on something because I figure, so I look at all these teams, all these stars and all these guys rolling up a lot of points, a lot of goals, a lot of assists, a lot of power play scores, whatever. And Jordan Kyrou is the Blues' leading scorer in terms of points, right? But you know where he ranks among NHL players in points, you know, combination goals, assists? He's 62nd. So what does that tell you? It tells you that the Blues, and by the way, it hasn't been easy for them to score goals, but they're scoring enough and they're preventing them enough to get some points. But when you don't have a guy, not even in the top 50 overall points by individual players, that tells you it's a team game. That tells you that they're getting a lot of contributions from a lot of people. Nathan Walker last night came into the game after that harrowing experience that everybody watched, with Dylan Holloway going down and then out being carried, being wheeled out on a stretcher. Nathan Walker came off the bench in an more major role, and he was terrific. He was absolutely fantastic. And every Blues player and coach praised him for that. You saw Oscar Sundquist scoring his first goal. You saw Torpchenko doing some things. So that game last night, again, under really challenging circumstances, we not only saw the Blues win, but we saw them win with some of their players that are down on the depth chart providing the goals and providing the big plays and providing the energy and providing the determination. These are all good signs. The challenge, of course, is going to be, can they make it last? Well, we all know the answer to that. There's no way to sit here and make a prediction. And what is the point? What is the point of even trying to make a prediction? I think the Blues are hard pressed to make the playoffs, but that should not be misconstrued as me saying, nah, they got no chance. Not saying that. Let's wait and see how it plays out a bit. We're going to get more answers as the weeks go by. My point is this team could be in a lot worse shape in terms of their record and in terms of all the time they have spent during games playing from behind. Could be a lot worse than they are given all the bad stuff they've had to deal with. But they have a winning record. And they keep coming back to win games. And they keep showing a lot of competitive character. And to me, that's where it starts. Because if you don't have that, if you don't have that heart and soul check mark that I was talking about earlier, if you don't have that, you're not going to be able to get through and plow through all of this adversity. You're going to fold up and you're going to be buried, you know, 20 games into the season or whatever. But they're fighting through it, man. And, much admiration. I hope they keep it up. Thank you for watching this, and please subscribe. And I am Bernie Miklas. Thanks for visiting my Bernie channel here on YouTube.